This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Surfing the globe, bringing you LGBT news, views, and personalities from around the world, one country at a time. It's the World Wide Wave here on Joy 94.9. Welcome to W3 World Wide Wave. It's a special show. It's the Australia you don't know, or ought to, as some of our guests would say, isn't it, Squirrel?
Yes, it is. In the land of She'll Be Right, do communities help or hurt Australian queers? We'll find out by listening to the Australia you don't know. But first, a classic. We'd be remiss if we didn't include our own Kylie Minogue. Here's the song that put her on the map. I should be so lucky.
The one and only Kylie Minogue.
I should be so lucky to have you paneling today. Fantastic. And we should be so lucky that we're in Australia, right here. Australia Day tomorrow. I've got the day off work tomorrow. I'm pretty excited.
You're very lucky. It's a very special day. Now, we are going to be talking to a very interesting guy coming up shortly. His name is Phil Walcott. He is running for the Legislative Assembly, I do believe is what it's called in the NT, isn't it?
I believe so as well. And this is part of our World Wide Wave show, where each week we go to a different country. And this week, in honor of Australia Day, here on Joy 94.9, we are cruising in and celebrating Australia.
Here's Phil. Welcome to World Wide Waves, Mr. Phil Walcott, who is running as an independent in the Northern Territory. More important than that, he's going to give us some major insight into LGBT life in the territory. Now, welcome, Phil.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for taking some time, especially during midsummer, which I know is probably a big thing. Mm-hmm. Starting on Convos, you started Alice is Wonderland.
Absolutely.
What is Alice in Wonderland exactly?
Alice is Wonderland was a set of gay and lesbian dance parties and events. It was about promoting Alice Springs as a particularly gay and lesbian friendly destination for people to sort of come to. So we'd have post Mardi Gras parties, parties in through November over a period of a few years.
Now, what's fascinating about that sort of coincides with the Tourism NT's big push for LGBT tourism. Now, to me, what are the resources on the ground, actually, for LGBT visitors to the territory? Let's start there.
Okay. There's quite a few gay and lesbian-owned and operated businesses. Gay and Lesbian Tourism Australia, for which I'm the Northern Territory Regional Director, is a membership-based organisation. And we have quite a few members in the Alice Springs Central Australia region, as well as the top end. So you can do tours. There's some accommodation. I was running the Rainbow Connection as a bed and breakfast in Alice Springs for about 11 years. So it's a very gay-friendly, sensational place to come and visit. You know, the colours of the territory, the people, lots of space, and a very warm and welcoming community within the Alice Springs area, as well as in the top end around Darwin.
Interesting. Now we're going to switch a little bit here. Now, what are the resources for actual territorians, though?
Oh, okay.
So if we love it so much that we want to move there, what have we got on the ground?
Okay. There are a couple of bars in Darwin. There's no gay-specific bars in Alice Springs, but they're very sort of gay-friendly. The Chifley Alice Springs Resort and the Crown Plaza, also Galta members, and they host Friday afternoons. There's a ladies' lounge at the Crown Plaza, and some of the guys meet at the Chifley Alice Springs Resort. And we often sort of do things together as well.
Well, interestingly enough, now you actually started out coming to the territory of working for the AIDS Council of Central Australia.
Yep.
Now, On your website, philwalcott.com.au, I'll give you a plug right
thank
there.
You, thank you.
You have this diary entry of, but just so we, so our listeners can hear it straight from your voice, what was your first impressions? What drew you to the territory exactly? How did that whole story start out?
Okay. I just finished a 3-month trip around the planet, basically. And I got back to Sydney and figured, oh, now I just need to find a job to help in Star Observer. And there was an ad for this job in Alice Springs. Mm-hmm. And having just come off this whirlwind sort of trip, it was just another plane ride. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, yeah, it's only a couple of hours away. So I was fortunate enough to win the job. So off I went with the plan to stay for 2 years. Mm-hmm. That very quickly turned into, it's now 18 years. It's a very easy place to be in. Alice is one of those places where you learn to become a human being, not a human doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just got a sense of spirit and essence about it that's really very enlightening and inviting.
Well, on your website, you also mentioned the urban shaman. Now, your time in Alice that sort of inspired you to become this urban shaman, or what exactly is the urban shaman in your own words?
Okay. Shamanic healing is traditional healing from around the planet. There are lots of indigenous cultures that have used shamanic healers. Mm-hmm. I work professionally as a psychologist, and so I'm always looking for new and interesting ways to engage whatever practices help to work for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it just became a part of the puzzle. My election platform is around building whole of community and getting people to focus on the glass half full rather than half empty, looking at people's language. So we focus on domestic harmony and not things like domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
So the urban shaman, there's two kinds of shaman. One's a warrior and one's an adventurer. So and the adventurer is more of the positive kind of stuff. So this stuff has been out there for a long time. And working with Aboriginal people, the traditional healers up there are known as Nunkri,
mm-hmm.
and within their communities can be really quite helpful as a complementary resource. I think you've got to use whatever medicines and healing techniques can work.
That was Phil Walcott talking there. We'll have more from Phil Walcott next week as we are doing a two-parter on Australia. And remember, full interviews will be posted online on our Facebook and Twitter pages, both called at W3Joy.
Yes, and Phil was talking about building a whole of community. We'll be chatting about that for the rest of the show. We'll be talking about building the whole of community in terms of race with David Maya. We'll be talking about that in terms of living way up and out in the country with Adam Sutton. And also in Western Australia, we've got Alice Newport Holden. We've got a question for you as well. Do you see the glass as half full or half empty when it comes to communities helping or hurting Australian queers? Do communities help or hurt Australian queers? Are you seeing that as a half full thing or a half empty thing? Let us know. You can SMS us at 0427JOY949. You can also email us at onair@joy.org.au.
Welcome back to Worldwide Wave. I'm Ikara Freeman, joined here by the other musketeer, Squirrel Maine.
You know, I actually love that Kylie Minogue promo, and every time I take the chain through Camberwell, I think, this is where Kylie's from.
Am I a bad gay by saying I actually have not visited the shrine where she came from? I've not been to Camberwell.
You've not been to Camberwell?
I have not.
Well, we can talk about how the community in Camberwell helps or hurts Australian queers later. But for right now, we were just talking, the National Australia Day address was just recently up in Sydney, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. I think it was only just a couple days ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that was where neurosurgeon, Charles Taylor actually made a very interesting stir where he said racism is still existing in Australia.
Yep, and he actually asked, why can't Australia be the gold standard of a non-racist environment? And he flat out said, we should start talking about it, we should see that it exists, and then we can do something about it. So we thought maybe while we're talking about the other Australia, the Australia you don't know, we'd start talking about racism in the gay community.
I think it's a very important topic. We had the opportunity to speak with David Maya, who is an El Salvadorian refugee. He came here when he was 5. Welcome to Worldwide Waves, David Maya.
That's right.
Oh, see, I got in one more.
One shot.
Now, you have a very interesting story, and we are going to have a very fascinating discussion. We're both chuckling here because we want you. You have no idea what's in store. But first, I guess, explain to our listeners your story of how you came to Australia.
Yeah, sure. Look, I was born in El Salvador in Central America. It's a beautiful little country right in the middle of the Americas. So it's right smack bang in the middle. I came here when I was five, so 1989. You do the maths. Because I know how old I am, but you can figure it out. And so I came here in 1989. There was a civil war, for anyone that knows anything about Latin America
and their history.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's fascinating stuff. I mean, civil war. My parents lived through it. I remember a little bit of sort of the civil war, but not a lot. I came here when I was five, as I said before. I turned six on the second day of being here. So,
wow.
And it was great. Well, I thought it was this huge adventure. Maybe not so much for my parents. But you know, sort of landed here in 1989, and I grew up here for 3 years, went to live back home, mm-hmm. to El Salvador. I suppose this is home now, but anyway.
Where did you grow up in Australia?
In Australia, I grew up in Melbourne. It's always...
Ah, yeah, so you're a local boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Always very much in Melbourne. Actually, the outer southeastern suburbs of Melbourne, and I'm quite willing to admit that.
Ouch. Very you know,
no, yeah, absolutely. And as soon as I was 16, I was out of there. But then I, you know, lived there for 3 years and then came back here. So... Mm. I've grown up in Australia. Mm. This is home for me as much as anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. You have a full Australian passport, the 9 yards.
Yeah. Look, absolutely. The sort of the mugshot on the face there. Mm-hmm. And it's great. Look, I love living here, and I mm-hmm. feel as Australian as anybody else.
Well, that's good that you mentioned that, because this gets to the crux of our conversation here. Recently, Dr. Charlie Teo made a comment where he said that racism really isn't out of Australian life now. Because radio is not a visual medium, describe your skin color.
Look, I think I would describe myself as kind of... Oh, my friends describe me as kind of like the color of a chai latte.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like... tannish brown.
You are not European.
Yeah, no. I like it just completely. Well, not even completely on the other side. Just more sort of. I look. I don't look like anything like Ricky Martin, but I do look Hispanic.
So now we will go to as we are effectively we are now both brown Australians.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a very good way to describe
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And I guess being that, how do you feel? Well, let's just get to the first big question first. Racism in Australia, how do you feel that exists? Does it still exist?
Yeah, I have never, ever been the victim personally of an overt racist attack or comment or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it does exist in these really sort of subtle ways.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's very real, but I mean, it's not to say, I mean, I don't know what it's like in any other part of the world. It's not to say that it might be different in Iceland or Sweden or the UK, but I don't live there. Yeah. You know, I can speak about my experience here, growing up here. And I think it is, there is racism, of course, in Australia. And the fact that after Dr. Teo's comments went out public, there were a lot of people that really sort of outraged and really sort of defensive. And I think that's your first hint that you're probably saying some truths here. Dr. Teo was saying some truths here that people didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you look at the Australian Constitution, the Australian Constitution was a racist document, and it still allows for racist laws to be passed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our very founding kind of document is still racist, and I think racism is still
even itself. Here. Well, I mean, let's get to the crux of it. Australia Day itself is effectively the welcoming the intruders into what was essentially an Aboriginal country.
Yeah, well, I mean, not even welcoming. You know, they're just
claiming it.
Yeah. I mean, the whole notion of the terra nullius, which is oh no, there was nothing here, no one here, and the people that were already here. Well, you're not important. Yeah. You're just animals and trees of the country that were sort of seen like that until 1967, I think it was. So you know, that sort of premise is really. I wouldn't say it's inherently racist, but it excludes a lot of people from participating.
And see, this is where we get into the interesting discussion about racism, because racism here has this two-pronged approach. part of it is sort of like saying, oh, we don't know about that. It's the ignorant side. And then part of it is also just saying, is being full on, you know, I don't like you and I don't like the, you know, turn the boats back. So when we have, let's sort of take these two prongs separately. What about the ignorant side? Mm. Like, we were talking earlier about gollywogs.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, what's your opinion of gollywogs? Oh. And then I'll share my opinion of gollywogs.
I find them really offensive to the 10th degree. My partner's mother loves sort of the little dolls, and you know, and there's nothing malicious in that at all, in her sort of like of them, but I find them really uncomfortable. I mean, I went to a shop, it's not far from sort of Joy Studios, in Block Arcade, and it had a whole wall full of a display of gollywogs, and I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, it's this weird thing, because I just think about, you know, I go back personally to the Civil War memories I have from there, where I just saw that was how they had, you know, the 10 little expletive dancing and then 10 little another expletive that begins with a P and ends with any. and that's an offensive term. And that is the imagery that they use for it. And I'm constantly confronted with it. And people say, oh, it's just a really nice thing. It just reminds me. Well, that's nice, but we don't live in this world where that is still around here. Like, let's go to another instance. The Hey, Hey, It's Saturday blackface sketch. Yeah. What was your opinion of that?
Well, look... it wasn't until just, you know, before the show that I actually sort of really thought about this, and it didn't shock me at the time, and the fact that it didn't shock me was a little bit concerning. I suppose it was a huge deal in the US, you know, and you saw the news coverage. I suppose with an Australian context, watching it here, I've just gone, oh, well, you know, these people... And there was another example of that, with a Qantas sponsor.
Oh, yes.
They dress up as your favorite rugby player, and this guy went in blackface, and, you know, sort of Qantas was very red-faced, you know, at that sort of sponsoring of that competition. But I understand that there were, you know, that people might have not had any intentions of them whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they didn't even think about it, that they didn't even think that it could be perceived as racist, you know, and I think that's the kind of racism that is alive here. It's this sort of not overt, you know, calling people names and excluding them, and you know. Mm-hmm. But by actually saying this is why I don't like you because you're this color or this race or whatever, it's all these sort of really underhand, subtle things that you can't place. And in many ways, they're a lot more damaging because you can't point and say, well, this is happening to me here because of this reason.
Yeah.
It's just a sort of slight suspicion that you might have that things are happening.
Well, I mean, it's sort of, you go into essentially, you have people who just sort of claim ignorance a lot more often because it's, they think that Australia is still an island, and we are long since ceased an island. You and I ourselves, we get to know each other because through the internet, anything is available right now because you have the ability to communicate. You can go and look out and see these things. There is really little excuse for those little incidents, but... And that was David Maya giving a very interesting view, wouldn't you say, it's Squirrel?
The fact that the underhand and subtle racism is more damaging than overt racism struck me as a really strong comment that, in fact, the Australian community is not helping, at least, you know, I guess just non-white-skinned Australian. I'll say queers for now because it's a gay radio station, but that's a pretty all-encompassing statement.
I mean, it's a very weird thing, balancing being in several different communities in one different time. You and I both sort of balance, you know, you're not just a lesbian, but you're also a Kiwi, and so you're
that'll do it.
And we're both sort of kind of outside of everything. I'm not only black, I'm American, and I do consider myself Australian now, but it's having to balance all these three things, and you want to feel like you're part of everything, but you aren't really ever entirely a part of it.
Now, I was just curious about, I heard the word gollywogs, and I have to admit we don't have those in New Zealand, and I think I have an image of it, but can you explain gollywogs?
Gollywog is like a Raggedy Ann doll. It's of charcoal skin. It's got very red lips, and there's debate on whether they are completely, how should I say this, whether they are intended as a complete fantasy character or whether they're based off of blacks themselves. But I have a tendency to say that the inspiration and the proliferation of them is so close to what was old Civil War era racist imagery and colonial imagery that it's uncanny.
Interesting one. Yeah, thanks for that. I had an idea about it, but I. So it's just one more example of that subtle. You don't know why you're uncomfortable when you walk by that store filled with
exactly.
all of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. Thanks for that. Hey, well, speaking of subtle and gay and out there in Australia, do we have any gay Australian musicians?
I think we do have one. It's Anthony Clay. He's part of the Joy family. It's OOOOO here on Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. Welcome back to Worldwide Wave. I'm Hikaru Freeman, joined by Squirrel. And we've got a celebrity this hour. But first, it looks like we've got an SMS, don't we?
Yep, we've got an SMS from Robert from Pascoville. The last laugh on Aussie racism. Hey, lets us know that all the flags being flown or waved tomorrow have actually been made in China. Now, not sure...
I didn't know that there was that much of an Australian flag industry, but...
there might be. I don't know the truth of that statement, but we do appreciate, Robert, that you're listening to us, and thank you for that. So who have we got coming up next?
We are going to be talking to journalist Neil McMahon, as well as Adam Sutton. Neil and Adam's story is quite interesting.
Well, Adam Sutton, who's that?
Adam Sutton is a, well, Adam Sutton of adamsutton.com.au is a cowboy who kind of burst onto the screen in a very big book called Say It Out Loud, which was his story, which he co-wrote with Neil. We'll be hearing from them right about...
Adam Sutton. How did you come across Adam and his story?
Well, I met Adam, people in Sydney will know that I met Adam at ARC, believe it or not. And in 2003, and we hit it off, and we were chatting, and it's a story we tell in our book, actually, that the first time we met, he's a bit of a crazy country guy, and he'd never been in a gay bar before. And he, at one point in the night, picked me up. I'm 6 foot five. I'm not a little fellow, but he picked me up and threw me across the dance floor, literally. And we've been friends ever since, basically. So it was an interesting meeting. And then the story came about because... I was obviously aware that he was friends with Heath Ledger and so forth, and when Heath made Brokeback Mountain, when he got the script for Brokeback Mountain, he was actually in Sydney, I think it was New Year's Eve 2003 or 4, and he said to Adam, I've just read this script and it sounds a lot like you, with the gay cowboy story, which Adam was a gay horseman. And Adam was on the set when they shot it, and when the movie came out, I said to Adam, you've got such an amazing life story, it would be a fantastic time to tell it, given all the publicity and attention that the movie's getting. And Adam, to my amazement, because he'd only been out of the closet about a year at that point, he said, okay, let's do it. So I wrote his story for the Sydney Morning Herald, and it was published... Mardi Gras Saturday 2006, I think it was, and was on the front page, and it just exploded from there. It was because Adam's own story was so incredible, and people just seemed to latch onto it. And we then did a TV. We did an episode of Australian Story together, which I hosted, and that was a couple of months after the newspaper story. And then we got offered a book deal, so I co-wrote his memoir, essentially Say It Out Loud.
Oh, now. Welcome to Worldwide Wave, Mr. Adam Sutton.
Thank you for having me.
4 years since Heath passed. What's it like without your mate?
Well, it's something that he might not be here in a physical form, but, the amount of everyone knows of Heath is something that he left with them, whether it's through a film or some sort of teaching or learning he might have given them. And he lives in me every day, knowing that he gave me the confidence to... be myself and be that person that pats you on the back and say, you know what, you got nothing to worry about, mate, you're all right.
Wow. Well, yeah. You yourself kind of, you had only just been out yourself for a year, and the next thing you know, you're out, and your story is like splashed across the nation. How did that feel?
Yeah, it was a little bit like, you're on your way up on a plane ready to jump out of an aircraft and there's no return button. But I'm one of those types of people that have never learned a lesson slowly. I've always learned them fairly quickly. And when those type of things and opportunities come in front of you, and I just sort of accepted on a lot of it, and because I knew it was for the power of the good and the better, and there's a lot of learning in it for myself and for a lot of other people, and I know that that's what it has done.
Wow. Well, you know, you are by any definition of the word, and I know your family will say this as well, a daredevil in your 20s. I mean, you went from shark wrangling to rodeos to... Was coming out probably more dangerous to you than anything else you've ever tackled?
Well, it was my biggest fear. You know, some of those other crazy things I did, I sort of did to suppress my inner fear of myself a little bit, I suppose. But, yeah, it was. It was my biggest fear. I was scared of myself. But, you know, you put me in any other sort of environment, you know, I'd relish in it. But my own emotional self was the thing I hated and feared the most. It was the most scariest part about me that I didn't want to recognize.
One of the most touching things that I've read in reading about you was that you said, I just want to love someone and be love-backed. Have you had the chance to have that?
Yes, I have. You know, I was in a five-year relationship, and it was awesome. It was amazing. And, love can be so kind, but it can also, I don't want to say it can be cruel, it can be very painful, and it's a hard thing to learn about at times. It's a very powerful emotion. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish I broke my leg because there's painkillers for that. But, love is beautiful, and it's, I'm glad I was able to accept it and receive it and also give it, you know.
Yeah. Well, since Say It Out Loud came out 6 years ago, can you believe that?
Yeah, it's gone so fast. You know, it's not a week goes by that I don't get, a Facebook message or an email or something that someone saw the story or read the book and what they got from it. And, you know, that's, that was the whole purpose of doing it. You know, it's not exactly what you might call a gay story. Well, it is, in a sense, because I am. There's lots of other things in that book that brought us to that time to be able to write it.
Wow. Well, do you think that you might be, do you think now it's probably a better place to live out in the country and be who you are at the same time? Or is it still, still kind of rough?
It can be. We were down the Kosciuszko chasing wild brumbies around the other week, and I was with a bunch of old, I met a couple of blokes that I used to sort of rodeo with, and it was a bit different because there's old school, and mm-hmm. old school is old school, and it always will be old school, and you have to accept that too, just like, the other people have to accept everybody in the world, if that's their belief, and that's what they believe in, and they don't want to change, well, that's okay as well, and there is some parts of the country culture that will be like that for a while, and change doesn't happen quickly. It takes a generation or two generations for change to happen. And, it's slowly happening in Australia, and it doesn't come quickly. It comes slowly and gradually.
What was the most amazing thing that happened since Say It Out Loud was released, or since your story went on the national stage?
I could never pinpoint it to be one exact thing. I think, just being able to find my inner voice, I suppose, and being able to help other people, someone can hear something they can relate in or have been through or know about, and you can just reach out and tell them that it's okay. I think that's probably been the biggest highlight. Yeah, there's been lots of other things. I've been able to do things with lots of other people, but I think being able to help and change someone's life is the most powerful thing.
Well, you certainly touch a lot more people's lives worldwide now, and thank you so much for talking with us, Adam. Is there any message you'd just like to say to the rest of Australia?
I suppose just to believe in yourself, and there's nobody better qualified in you than you.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Not a problem at all. Thanks for having me.
No problem. He's a true charmer, Adam Sutton. I can tell you that right now, Squirrel.
Yeah, and I like, you know, Phil Walcott was discussing focusing on the positive, and just the way he's talking about change will happen slowly. Believe in yourself. There's nobody better qualified to believe in you but you. And I even like the fact that he was nice to people, saying, if that's their belief, well, that's okay. Like, just so accepting. And it's so, I guess, rewarding to see someone who's gone from saying, I was scared of myself, to being able to say on national radio, believe in yourself. Well, there's nobody better qualified than to, you know, you to believe in you.
Absolutely. And he's just, I mean, he's one of those people that does kind of get choked up just talking about, when you think about what he's gone through and everything like that. Our full interview with Adam Sutton, as well as with Neil McMahon, will be available on our Facebook and Twitter pages at W3Joy shortly.
Yes, and I just think that it's a perfect example of communities helping Australian queers. Like,
here, here.
There's Adam, and he's building a community just by being himself, really. So thanks, Adam. Speaking of building in community, we try to be fair and equitable here at The Wave on Joy 94.9. So if there's a Kylie song, we're also going to play a Danny song. Here's Who Do You Love Now by Danny Minogue.
Welcome back to Worldwide Wave. I'm Ikara Freeman.
I'm Squirrel Maine. And coming up, we'll be looking at the Western Australian community.
Westralia. Don't you just love that name? Westralia.
Yeah, anyway, we'll be hearing from Alice Newport Holden
from
Western Australia. And she's talking about some of the mental health issues that folks face out there. So
Tell us a little bit more about what are the particular struggles that face people in WA.
Another big issue that we do have in WA are mental health issues, especially within youth. There's recently been some funding being given to assist with some initiatives to help with the actually quite large scale mental health issues that we have in WA. The statistics around that surround it are quite horrific, with regards to the fact that LGBTI youth are so much more likely to suffer from very serious mental health issues. And again, we're very lucky to have some very good organisations that are trying to work towards getting some proper assistance. And, you know, really tackling the issues and why the issues are so strong. But that's definitely a very, very large issue in WA, unfortunately.
Well, I was going to say, can you give some of the names of these organizations or how people can get in touch with them if they're doing it tough?
Yep. So one of the main youth organizations in Perth is the Freedom Centre. Mm-hmm. So if you just Google Freedom Centre, their website will come up. The same again for GLCS, which is the Gay and Lesbian Community Services. They're a fantastic organisation. They're doing some good work within the community at the moment. We're just trying to really help people. We're very lucky to have organisations like that that are so active and so prominent within the community. With things, you know, with sexual health, we have the WA AIDS Council, who, are, although they're not just a specific an LGBTI organisation, they're very progressive and they're very active within the community, which is, God, it's great to see. So if somebody needs help, the Freedom Centre, if they're under 26 or GLCS is for any age, contact somebody there and they'll be more than willing and able to help. But we're lucky to have such good organizations in WA, and we have a lot of people surrounding those organizations that are willing to get involved and that want to help.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's good.
That's great. Is Pride WA going to do something along the lines of like its own little version of the It Gets Better campaign, because to help combat this problem?
Well, It Gets Better AU actually launched in Perth.
No. Oh.
So they had a launch at Connections Nightclub a few months ago, and that was it was a massive success. Our youth, coordinator or liaison on the committee was very involved in that, And he's in the process of starting some youth-based events to try and combat, just to try and ease people into the community, to hopefully remove some of the anxiety and the issues that come with coming out and not feeling part of a community. You know, you hit 18 and you're in the world and there's this whole massive gay community in front of you, and it can be extremely daunting. So having the work that he's doing, and there'll be a big focus in our strategic plan on mental health and youth for us to work with over the next 5 years, because, well, God, they're our future. So we've got some good work coming, but we're lucky to have some good organizations already in place for us to work with and to be there now.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that. Has there been a case of a lot of youth, in order to feel like they can really be themselves, having to leave WA in order to because of the culture there? Or is it just why is this problem happening in WA?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I just know that it's awful that there is such a large mental health issue. But, I mean, I to be honest, I don't know of many people leaving WA to try and fight it, mm-hmm. or rather to get better. Mm-hmm. But there's a big focus on things like the It Gets Better project and those kind of things. There's a lot of activism surrounding it, which is good. I think now people are talking about it, people won't be so scared to say, I feel this way, mm-hmm. Which hopefully will start to combat the effects of mental health issues before they get too serious and before it gets to a point where people are incredibly unhappy.
Alice Newport Holden there of Pride WA. We'll be having more from Pride WA next week.
That's right. Australia is a two-part series for us. We had so many incredible interviews, and they were so geographically easy for us to get. Now, Australia will be a two-part series. And remember, the full interviews will be posted at W3Joy. She was talking about the It Gets Better AU project, and I have to admit, we kind of looked at each other and said,
there was one.
Wait, let's look that up online real fast. Yeah. And they've got this amazing website. Yeah, it's got all kinds of videos of Australians, everything from Optus employees to like high school kids. Just
Premier Anna Bligh, actually, is on there. I mean, the Queensland Premier.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep, just telling their stories. And so it's quite cool, I think, that they've got this project, It Gets Better Australia. And so we just want to encourage that project. It's part of the queer community and building the queer community, the Australia we don't know. We'd like to know that. So if you think you've got a story to tell, or even if you're not sure, feel free to submit yours to the It Gets Better project. You can find them at igba.org.au.
Quite an interesting group of people there, and hopefully we'll be able to talk with them in the coming weeks. But now we have a little bit of a sojourn to the land of want. It's Natalie Imbruglia, and it's Want here on Worldwide Wave. Welcome back to Worldwide Wave.
Oh, enjoy 94.9. And that song we just heard was Natalie Imbruglia's Want. And we want to thank you.
Yeah, we've had a very interesting response. Thank you, Robert from Pasco Vale. Thank you, our old musketeer, Tom, who's sent us a couple interesting, cheeky, but very informative emails.
Yes, and thank you, everyone who's listening to us for our special Australia show. Next week, we'll have part two, and later in February, we'll be continuing on with our Difficult Countries series. But first, we want to wish you a happy Australia Day, and we know we're about 2 minutes early, but we're proud to be representing Melbourne's LGBT community here on Joy 94.9 and bringing you into Australia Day, a community that I reckon helps Australian queers. What do you think? Helps or hurts?
I think, well, I'm going to still stay tuned for next week, actually, because, you know, community is such a really odd term, because it helps us, it strangles us, but we want it, we want to feel part of it, but we want to change it from the inside. And, you know, I think neither of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for community, wouldn't you say?
No, that's true. I actually have to really appreciate the whole Joy 949 community for giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely. And personally, on another level, I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed this journey with both you and Tom. Who
oh, well, we're getting way too deep. Hey, yeah, who's next?
We've got KRIS, the lovely KRIS, who's setting up right there in the other studio.
And he'll be playing our favorite country hits from Q Country. And in the meanwhile, we've got one last song from the Little Black Music Box.
It's Ricky Lee, Raining Diamonds.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Tune to us next week for Australia Part 2.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.